Ave Maria.
Hello, friends. Welcome to day 10 as we continue journeying towards consecrating our lives to Mary. I want to say right off the very beginning, thank you for all your comments. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your participation. It's an honor for us to be able to serve you this way. Mm-hmm. And we want to acknowledge our special friends at Clay Ministries who have sponsored these videos. Without them, this would not be possible. This gift is from them to you. Their website's at the bottom here of the screen. If you'd like to go over to the website, make a donation in gratitude for how they've gifted this series mm-hmm. to everyone, I'm sure they would be very grateful. And so today we continue on with day 10, and it mm-hmm. is the call to share in the Eucharist.
Yes.
Now, Sister Lucia doesn't provide in the book a lot of context for this particular call.
That's right.
This happens in 1916. It's the third time the angel appears to the children. It happens in the hills, and this is what they see. They see the angel of peace standing, holding the chalice, and suspended above the chalice is a host dripping with blood, the blood dripping into the chalice. And then the angel comes around, leaves the host and chalice suspended in the air, and then he bows down, saying this prayer.
Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, and I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the insults, sacrileges, and indifference with which he himself is offended. And through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners.
So the angel says this prostrate, adoring the true presence of Jesus. He rises, goes, and takes the host and the chalice. He gives the host to Lucia and the chalice to Francesco and Jacinta. And he says this.
Take and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, horribly outraged by ungrateful men. Make reparation for their crimes and console your God. Well, you know, I just feel like the language is really strong in the mm-hmm. sense, you know, horribly outraged. Mm-hmm. Like, make reparation because our God is horribly outraged by ungrateful men. And mm-hmm. I think I am counted among those ungrateful men because I have received the Eucharist unworthily many, many times just simply because I was that next person in line, you know, not paying attention during the Mass, not seeing it for what it truly was.
What I find interesting, though, is the reason why they're receiving this Eucharist, saying it's to make reparation for these sins.
Mm-hmm.
These little children are changing eternity by receiving this miracle, the miracle of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we can all do. When we go forward to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we can make reparation for the evils that we see within the world. I think we have to get out of this attitude that the Eucharist is a right that we have to possess. It's not a right. It's a gift. And it's the greatest gift that mm-hmm. God could give us. And so it requires the greatest reverence mm-hmm. and the greatest preparation. Now, how should we prepare? I've done a whole separate video on this, and I'm going to link right up there if you want to learn a little bit more. But here's a thought. When we have guests over, Janelle, say a rosary night, we have rosary nights, we have people over to our house to say the rosary. What do we do before they come over?
We clean up.
We prepare. So that's not a trick question. I didn't tell her. We were going to talk about this. But we prepare. We clean the house. Partly because it honors the people who are coming over.
Mm-hmm.
And we also don't want to look like slobs.
but
we want to honor those guests coming over. And that's normal, right? Right? But what if there's a guest that you have in mind that you absolutely admire, that you love, that has impacted life tremendously, that they deserve your respect and your honor, and you invite them over to your house, let's say, to stay with you, and they accept this invitation, and they're going to stay with you for 2 weeks. And the place that you give for them to stay is another property. And this property that you own is broken down. The windows are busted. There's no doors. There's no power. There's no running water. There's no tables. There's no chairs. There's no beds. It's mouse infested. Drywall is falling down. The roof is leaking. Your honored guest arrives at your abandoned house. Isn't that an insult to the one you love? And of course, because it's an abandoned meal, it's not fit to receive that honored guest. In a similar way, when we're in the state of mortal sin, our soul is not fit to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when we go forward to receive, when we are in the state of serious sin, it is a sacrilege. It's an offense to God, not because God doesn't want to come and dine with us. It's because we're not fit to receive him. It's not that God has abandoned us. It's that we have abandoned him. We become that abandoned house that's unfit for the royal king. But praise God, he's given us another sacrament called the sacrament of reconciliation, where there can be a complete and total restoration. And I just mention all this because sometimes there is good reason not to receive. And the angel speaks of that, a sacrilege. What is a sacrilege?
A sacrilege consists in profaning or treating unworthily the sacraments and other liturgical actions, as well as persons, things, or places consecrated to God.
So if we find ourselves in this state of serious sin, then we go to the sacrament of confession. And I have found that if when we have regular participation of the sacrament of confession, it goes hand in hand with our appreciation of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Now, how does this all relate back to Mary? Well, where did Jesus get his flesh and get his blood? In other words, how did he become man? Well, he took it from Mary. Jesus' flesh came from Mary. The blood that ran and runs through his veins, even now in heaven, came from Mary. And so when Jesus goes and institutes the Eucharist, he says, "This is my body." That body that he offers us in the Eucharist also is like a direct connection to Mary. Because Jesus' flesh and blood comes from Mary.
Saint Pope John Paul II said, "Mary can guide us toward this most holy sacrament because she herself has a profound relationship with it."
And the Church gives Mary a very special title regarding this called Mother of the Eucharist.
Saint Peter Julian Aimard said, "Where on earth shall we find Jesus but in the arms of Mary? Was it not she who gave us the Eucharist? It was her consent to the incarnation of the Word that inaugurated the great mystery of reparation to God and union with us, which Jesus accomplished during his mortal life, and that he continues in the Eucharist."
And everything that we give to Mary, what does she do? She gives it right back to God. In fact, Mary keeps nothing for herself. She didn't keep her dreams. She didn't keep her will. She kept nothing. She didn't keep her son. Everything was offered to God. So in this Marian consecration, we offer indeed our lives over to Mary. But Mary, when anything touches her hands, what does she do? She gives it over right away to her son. So today, in a special way, let us seek Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, to grant us a greater appreciation for the Eucharist, so that when we participate worthily, and we offer our participation of the Eucharist in reparation for the sin, as the angel asked those young children. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us.
Special thank you to Clay Ministries, who has sponsored this entire video series. Learn more about them at clayministries.org.
And remember to share this video with others. Together, we can do something beautiful for God. God bless, friends.